From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if, then this is not a matter to be taken for granted concerning every one of the human race. If, then there is a possibility and a probability that some may not have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If, then this is not a general but a special mercy. And it is needful to inquire whether we know the grace of God by inward experience. There is no spiritual favor which may not be a matter for heart searching. But while this should be a matter of earnest and prayerful inquiry, no one ought to be content whilst there is any such thing as an if about his having tasted that the Lord is gracious. A jealous and holy distrust of self may give rise to the question even in the believer's heart. But the continuance of such a doubt would be an evil indeed. We must not rest without a desperate struggle to clasp the Savior in the arms of faith and say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Do not rest, O believer, till thou hast a full assurance of thine interest in Jesus. Let nothing satisfy thee, till by the infallible witness of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with thy spirit, thou art certified that thou art a child of God. O, trifle not here. Let no perhaps or peradventure and if and maybe satisfy thy soul. Build on eternal verities, and verily build upon them. Get the sure mercies of David, and surely get them. Let thine anchor be cast into that which is within the veil, and see to it that thy soul be linked to the anchor by a cable that will not break. Advance beyond these dreary ifs. Abide no more in the wilderness of doubts and fears. Cross the Jordan of distrust and enter the Canaan of peace, where the Canaanite still lingers, but where the land ceaseth not to flow with milk and honey.
Here's a cry.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he continues part 2 of a message entitled Pastoral Prayer for an Infant Church. The text is verses 10 through 13 of chapter 3. Although absent from them, Paul's heart was greatly burdened for the new believers in Thessalonica. When Timothy returned with the report that the fledgling Christians were going on in their lives with God, Paul was overjoyed. In the final verses of the chapter, he utters a prayer for their continued progress in mutual love and personal holiness. He wanted to perfect their faith, not in its basic essence, but in its knowledge of all that they now possessed in Christ. Now to continue this message, here is the Reverend Armand Tamassian.
Well, that's Paul's emphasis. I want to perfect, I want to complete that which is lacking in your faith. You don't know everything. You don't understand all of your sins. You don't understand the gravity of certain sins that remain in your life. You don't recognize all the glory of the Lord Jesus and what he has done. You need to grow. So this is his reason. But note also his submission. Verse 11. There's a submission here, even in his wish to overthrow Satan's conquest. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. While he desires to see Satan's efforts overcome, he submits to the Lord's providence. You see the word there he uses, direct our way unto you. If you have a margin, it will give the word guide as an alternative translation. But it has the sense of removing hindrances, not just guidance. It has a sense of removing hindrances to make a path. Paul uses it in one other place. It's the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 5, where he says, "And the Lord direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." The Lord direct your hearts. Guide your hearts. Remove the obstacles that prevent you from knowing the love of God. So who is directing? Well, you can see God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very interesting text, even in the way Paul constructs it here. You can see the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ being brought out, as he said, God Himself. God Himself. Well, who is God? Our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the divinity of Christ being brought out here. And even in the sense that he is looking both to the Father and to the Son to sovereignly direct our way onto you. We depend upon God to guide us every day. There is a submission to God in all things. Paul manifests this very clearly in his life. When you read through the book of Acts, you will see that it's not always about Paul's way. He has desires, he has longings. Especially you'll see it in Acts chapter 16. And he wants so badly to go east. And yet the Spirit forbids him. And he wants to go to, I think it's, is it Bithynia? And again the Spirit prevents him. And constantly you find this man at times being hindered from going to the place that he wants to go. And while he would pray, he would submit himself entirely to God. For a long time he desired to go to Rome. He longed so badly to go to that city, and yet he never got there until, well, near the end. And he arrived there in a very different way than he would ever have imagined, arriving as a prisoner. So there's a submission here. When you think about your life, beloved, when you think about what you're wanting to do and where you want to live and where you're going to go and so on, have a complete submission to the Lord. Now, God Himself, this is His wish. God Himself, if it would please God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way onto you. We don't know for sure if He ever made it there. He did return to Macedonia. Chances are that he would have desired to go there, but we can't say for sure. The record doesn't tell us. But he so badly wanted God to direct, but he submits to the Lord in everything. That brings us then to our second point. He not only wished for the overthrow of Satan's conquest, he wished for greater manifestation of the second commandment. Now, you look at verse 11, and you'll say, or verse 12 rather, and you'll say, well, where is the second commandment? I don't see the second commandment there. Well, I don't mean by the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. In this case, I'm referring to what the Lord approved of being the second commandment in Matthew chapter 22, if you turn over there just for a moment. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, we know that this wasn't exclusive knowledge to the Lord Jesus Christ. Other rabbis, students of the Word, divided up the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, in this very same way. They understood that the first part related to the relationship that man has with God, and the second part has a reference to man's relationship with his fellow man. And so there's this recognition of the first commandment, what we have in terms of our duty to God, and the second commandment, that in terms of our duty toward man. And that's what I mean by the second commandment when we come to verse 12 of this chapter. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Paul is looking for growth in the second aspect of the law, this relationship that they had with their fellow man. And while the perfecting of their faith relates primarily to what they believe about God, the growth of their love relates primarily to how they interact with other people, at least in this passage. Now, I want you to see in this wish for a greater manifestation of the second commandment in their lives, first the extent of it, and then we'll see the example. The extent, you can see in verse 12, "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." He is looking for the increase and abound. The words really are not too different in terms of their meaning, but he's just multiplying terms to show that he is desiring this overflow of the grace of love. Now, the mark of the Holy Spirit working in the church and in the lives of brethren is love. We know this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing." If there is not a manifestation of love, there's nothing. Nothing. And I think we need to be reminded of that. That no matter what else we may boast in, no matter what may be our profession of what we exhibit in the Christian life, if we have not love, we have nothing at all. To ensure their lives are not wasted, Paul prays for the advancement of their love. If they advance in this, then all will be well. If they advance in everything else but this, it doesn't matter what the advancements may be. It's irrelevant. So one thing that Paul therefore manifests here is that he is not content to leave God's people in a position where they merely do what they must. He wants them to increase and abound in love. Not just show love. Of course, they must show love. But he wants them to increase and abound in love. Now, this is very important, that Paul would lay out this need to really grow in the matter of love. Many of the Pharisees lived their lives content with a compliance to the letter of the law, but they ignored the spiritual implications. And so far as they would do what it says, strictly speaking, they were content. We've done our duty. Jesus said of these Pharisees, Matthew 23:25, "They make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." They do everything externally. It's an external form of religion. But Paul's desire is that God's people give genuine expression of the grace of God that rules in their hearts. And so he's looking for abounding, not just doing what may be seen as your duty, but even more than that, to increase and abound in love one toward another. The Lord Jesus taught us in Matthew 5:41, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." If he compels, say, "Come with me 1 mile," go with him 2 miles. To go 1 mile is to do the letter of the law, to do your duty. A man asks you, "Come with me 1 mile," and you go, "I did my duty." But Jesus says, don't just do your duty. I want you to increase and abound in love. We are not merely, therefore, to give a strict adherence to the literal wording of the law, but we're to understand what the divine lawgiver really meant when he gave his commandments. To go the second mile is to manifest the spirit of the law. That when you're asked to do this, that it goes much deeper in terms of its application in our lives. And so this church is exhorted to do just that. Don't just love, increase and abound in love. Now, they had love. Paul had already highlighted that. You go back to chapter 1, verse 3. He says, and this is his own experience of them, what he remembered of them, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." So he knows this. He knows this. And he is praying for them, upholding them, knowing that they manifest his work of faith and labor of love. He knows that personally for himself. But not just personally. Again, in chapter 3, verse 6, Timothy had given a report bringing good tidings of your faith and love. So he is hearing again that this love continues to manifest itself in the body of Christ in that city. But he is praying for more, and that's the point. The Lord make you to increase. This is my wish for you. I don't want you to stay there. I want you to show more. I want you to manifest more. I don't want you to remain stagnant and content that We're loving one another in all the ways that we should be. But Paul wants every believer to ask himself, well, am I loving in all the ways I should be? And is that should it deepen and broaden and be further exemplified in other ways that I'm not yet doing? The apostle's heart for the church is that they would manifest more love, that there cannot be enough. There can never be a limit that says that church has attained the standard that is set. That is looking at the letter of the law. That is making a sense of here's what it requires, and we set a certain standard, and when we hit it, if we can just sustain that, then all is well. That's not the point. The apostle's desire is don't have a standard that you can make a measurement there and say, well, we've hit that, all's well and good. Realize that the love of God in Christ cannot be marked. That the love you've experienced in the gospel is infinite. That what is in your heart, in terms of God forgiving your sin and making you a child of His, cannot be quantified. And so let that be your standard. There is no mark that can be set. You can never get to the point where you say, I'm showing as much love as Christ has shown me. So Paul's desire, his longing, his wish for them is that they would increase and abound in love one toward another. To abound, keep increasing, keep growing, keep showing, because no matter how much love you show, still falls short of the love of Christ. Now he focuses first upon the believer. Increase and abound in love one toward another. And I think it good for us just to realize that this may have been a very divided community in terms of demographics. It's probably made up of slave owners and the slaves themselves, of Jews and Gentiles, and many challenges that would need to be overcome, and yet they're called to abound more and more in love one toward another. And they wouldn't have manifested this up to this point. They would not be kind of carrying on in something that they already manifest in their lives. Some of these demographics would have been opposed to each other. They'd have been deeply embedded prejudices in their hearts. It seems so far so good in terms of what the gospel has done in the church. But Paul is desiring among the people of God that they would show a greater increase of love one toward another. This cannot be overemphasized. Someone was praying about it even in the prayer meeting before. They were praying over that text where the Lord says that this is how you'll know, that the world will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. And so it cannot be overemphasized. And this is why Paul turns to it over and over again. In fact, I think, is it Philippians chapter 1? Where he prays for their love as well. Yeah, Philippians 1 verse 9, where he is praying for the church at Philippi. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. An abounding of love. There's more to that love that's specified there in terms of their discernment and decision making. But it's love that needs to abound. And this is what he's praying for here.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.